Good morning, everyone. Come on in. Let me get my screens set up. We are going to today be talking all about water and sleep and the phases of change. So this is Wednesday Q&A with Corinne, which means you get to ask your questions. You just pop them into the Q&A. I'll probably be looking around to see what y'all are talking about in the chat while we watch some videos. I'm going to bring Coach Lizzie up. Hang on, Zoom is... Hang on, Lizzie. It was taking a second. The little buttons are jumping all the way around. And let me get this pulled up over here. So here's how today will work. We are going to watch a video from the No BS module. So if you're brand new or if you've been a member for a while, if you watch this, guess what you get to do? You get to take your happy ass all the way over to the website. You get to log in. You get to go to module one and you get to check off that box to let us know that you did it. Y'all never know inside the No BS weight loss course when we don't have surprises and little things that we might be sending you based on completion. A lot of y'all don't check your damn boxes off, and then we don't know who the fuck's been through the program and who's not. You never know if you're missing out on us reaching out to you, if you're missing out on a fun graphic. There's all kinds of little hidden Easter eggs in that program. So if you've watched shit or you've listened to shit and you didn't take the time to check your box, you might just want to. I am just saying. All right, let me take a look at a couple of the little announcements that I wanted to make. So number one, a lot of you are new today, so welcome to No BS. This is where you get to have Corinne live in your fucking face. It's amazing. I don't know how amazing it is. This is my first cup of coffee this morning. So what is it? I think it says caffeine queen. I was not the caffeine queen this morning. I was like out walking and doing all the things. And I was like, oh shit, I haven't had any caffeine. No wonder I feel like I'm dragging my ass through my neighborhood. Couple things. This is the last week of the Basics Breakthrough. So if you've been a member, we are wrapping up September. We have been going through module one of No BS. If you're brand new, all you got to do is watch the videos. You can watch even the replays if you want of the past few weeks of calls to just get the Q&As. Or at any time, you can go to Ask Coaches. You never have to feel like if you don't do something live with us, like, I lost the opportunity to ask my question. No, you fucking didn't. We have Ask Coaches. It gets answered within 24 to 48 hours every single day. Like literally, I have coaches that work 7 days a week to make sure that your questions are getting answered. You can always go to the Facebook group. We have coaches in there. I am in there often. I was in there this morning. I was in there last night, like answering some things for people. So you never know when Corinne's going to like be whack-a-mole and just pop up in your face, helping you through a problem. So you can post in different places. You can always attend a live call. You can always use the Q&A. That's also available to you. But most people are never going to attend live calls. I was coaching this past Sunday, doing a live coaching. I do coaches. Y'all know me. I do the coaching on Sunday. I'm actually going to be doing this Sunday. I was supposed to be out of town. We ended up having to cancel our vacation for personal reasons, which nothing bad. It's just like, we just couldn't go this weekend. So I will be your coach this weekend. I'm almost always the Sunday, but MJ takes over for me when I'm traveling. And this past Sunday, I was coaching and somebody in the chat said, I've been here like 4 years. This is the first live I've ever come to. It's great. They've been losing weight and doing just fine for 4 years. Loving No BS Live. She's a lifer. She just likes being here. And she was like, I finally was able to come to one of those calls. Amazing. So do not feel left out, behind, or whatever your story is going to be if you can't come to a fucking live call. Take me on your walks and listen to my ass while you get some steps in. That is the best way to listen to some extra content. Every morning when I go on my walk, I'm either talking to my bestie Jane on Marco Polo, or I'm listening to calls and all the other programs I belong to. So there you go. Now, next month is a fun month. I have written a course for y'all that has been legit asked for thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Like y'all have wanted to know this for as long as I can remember in No BS. One of the things I hear from y'all all the time is like, Corinne, how you get so much done. Corinne, how do you stay out of that overwhelm? How do you get your ass on track when you are off? You're going to learn next month. Y'all are going to learn how to be me next month, because we are going to be doing Master Your Time, Master Your Weight Loss. The number one thing I hear from y'all, literally when it comes to losing weight, is I don't have time. I just don't have time. And somebody just asked, you're probably new, is there a cost to this extra course? No, it is included in OBS. Like, every month we have a theme. So sometimes we watch things that are already in the program. So like courses, like this month, we've been doing a course together. Some months you get some brand new shit. Now, if you're brand new, do not worry. You do not need to do Mastering Time. You just save that for later. After you get through No BS, guess what you do? You go like, I wonder what could help me. I tend to be an overwhelmed bitch all the time. I bet that course will help me. And then you take it on your own. You won't miss anything because we put everything there for you. But we're going to learn how to be the master of your time, because a lot of you run out of time to plan. You're out of time to cook. You're so busy during the day. You just wore out at night, making bad decisions, breaking plans and all this stuff. This is what this course is for. It is for you. Like, and a lot of you, this is another thing that, so I don't want all my retirees who say like, but I don't have a lot on my calendar, because I know we have a ton of people here who are like 55 plus. And y'all's nemesis is I have a lot of time, but yet I'm not getting anything done. Like, I have this large swath of time ahead of me every day. Why am I not doing all those projects I swear to God are important to me? Why am I not decluttering? Why am I not doing these things? Because time is one of those things that anyone can feel overwhelmed with anything. So this is the perfect course for anyone who feels like they have a lack of time, or they're overwhelmed with the abundance of time staring at them and they still can't get things done. So that is what we will all be doing next month together. And again, newbies, you'll be going through the No BS Weight Loss course and you will listen to these things as it fits for you. You do not have to listen to everything we put out. All right. And then the last thing before we start, before I do what I normally do on Wednesdays, which is struggle to get the video to play, and then all of you applaud me for not losing my shit on camera. Last week, we're all going to pray to God. Everybody, whatever God you pray to, I don't care if you burn incense, whatever it is. Let's just all hope that Corinne's going to get her technology correct today. Last time, best time. Think It, Ink It, Shrink It Camp. Now, for all of you newbies, we have two live events each year where people can come to Nashville and be in the room with me. We also make it a simulcast where you can have a whole weekend dedicated to you virtually. Our final event of 2023 happens to be happening this November. It is all about like really learning how to journal without it being scary as fuck, how to do it efficiently, how to do it where you don't feel like you're having to pull the scabs and wounds of your soul off and just be laying in your shit all the time. I really want to teach y'all how to journal for like every level, so that like for some of you, you just need to get started with it and you're terrified of it. And I'm going to teach you techniques on how to do that to where you can get progress in your life without having to feel like you're like having to do extra work. One of the things I hate the most is that we all call it do the work, do the thought work. It shouldn't be work. It should feel more like giving yourself a small break each day to get recharged, to get refocused. That's what journaling really is about. Sometimes when we're journaling, we do have to look at some of our problems. But at that camp, I really want to teach y'all how to look at your problems without feeling bad about it, without feeling ashamed, without judging yourself over it. So that camp weekend is coming up in November. We are 6 weeks out. If you are going to fucking come, You need to get signed up now. Swag is going to start being shipped. There is a cost for that. We don't charge you much in No BS for anything else. Almost everything is always included for $59 a month. But if we're going to spend 3 days together and you're coming to Nashville, as much as I would love to have a weight loss charity, I have not established one just yet. So there we go. You can check the website out for that. And then if you're going to come in person, we still have seats available, and you're worried because you're by yourself, you're solo, you've never been before, never fear, my dear. We are going to have on Thursday night a meetup for all first-time solo campers so that you can meet some other people who've never been there before. My team will be there to do like a meet and greet to kind of help you find someone so that you don't feel like you're just walking in butt-ass naked in the cold, like you're all naked and afraid. I want you to feel welcomed, comfortable, and enjoy yourself. And camp is about a whole weekend dedicated to you. Okay, let's get to video one again. Will you, let me answer a couple of questions and we'll do it. Will the time management course address ADHD, time blindness, and difficulty staying on track with that? It does not specifically address that, Jenna. There are lots of articles that you can read on Google about that. We have lots of people in our membership. I have several team members who all have ADHD. I would just encourage you, like, maybe to post in the chat and see some of the other members who have read some books and stuff on that. But I did not dive deeply into that. This is more about the overall, how does time management work with weight loss? It's about the construct of time. It will help you though, because a lot of us, what we do, Becky Hyman over here, she has ADHD. She is my personal organization specialist. Like, literally, Becky comes to my house once a quarter. She also has done a lot of the organization at my restaurant. She's a great resource for you. I'm doing the virtual. So glad there was a payment option to do monthly and no extra charges for it. Yeah, we don't make you pay extra because you want to break your payments up around here at No BS. All right, let's get to video one. Excuse me, y'all. Bryn is so sinusy these days. I am just letting y'all know. Oh my God, I think I'm going to do this correctly. Y'all are going to have to tell me in the chat if I did this correctly. Something in my gut tells me we're doing okay today.
You've learned two of the four basics, the doable 24-hour plan and the doable hunger method. Combining these two basics helps you eat the food you love in a way you can lose weight. They allow you to feel freedom around food instead of restriction, and they both help you start to feel in control of what you eat. There are two more basics, and they are the best fat burners in the world, except these fat burners are safe and don't require you to do anything other than make them a rock solid habit. Sleep and water are the magic pills of weight loss. Both of them play a powerful role in food cravings, managing mood, increasing energy levels, and fat loss. So let's start with water, the nectar of the weight loss gods. If you know me, you know that I'm a tough bitch who goes down swinging. But there's one area in my life I am a delicate flower. I need to be watered, and so do you. We need at least 64 ounces of water every single day. Some people need even more depending on their body and daily energy expenditures. I typically drink 3 liters a day because I sweat like a beast when I'm working out, coaching, or teaching. The best way to know how much water you need is going to be to look at your urine. It should be pale yellow so that you could read a newspaper through your urine. If it is dark yellow, you need more water. You can't survive without water. The body can go up to 30 days without any food, but it cannot survive more than 3 days without water. Do you see how important water is to your body? So when you're slightly dehydrated, one of the things that happens is your reasoning brain functioning starts to decrease. That means it'll be harder to stay on plan, deal with stress, and eat until you've had enough. Your brain will try to get you to eat more food if it thinks you aren't going to get enough hydration. So if you'd like to see a natural reduction in cravings and urges, make sure you're drinking enough water every day. An easy way to get your water down is to drink a glass of water anytime you think you're slightly hungry. Wait 15 minutes, and if you're still hungry, just eat. If not, wait, and then eat when you do feel slight hunger. And to get yourself started with water drinking, try keeping a 16-ounce bottle of water next to your bed. When you wake up, shotgun that water, and then to do the same prior to every meal you eat that day. This will get you up to 64 ounces easily. Anything you sip the rest of the day is called bonus. You can make your water tasty also with fresh fruit, sugar-free mix-ins if you're okay with some artificial sugars, and things like fizzy-flavored waters. Just don't count lattes, sweet tea, or booze. Enjoy those, but they do not count towards your water. Now let's talk about sleep. Your body needs sleep, and at night, your body turns into a fat-burning machine. While you sleep, your body works really hard to repair all the damage it incurred all day from normal wear and tear. The more sleep you get, the more your body gets into fat-burning mode. When you short your sleep, your body focuses on repairing your muscles and organs. It will deprioritize fat burning if you don't get enough sleep. Another thing sleep does is prevent you from having tons of urges to eat for energy during the day. Don't you think about it? If you're tired, you'll want a snack to get a second wind. By getting plenty of rest at night, you prevent your body from needing those boosts of energy throughout the day. So how much sleep do you need? Most adults need 7 to 9 hours every night. If that's hard for you due to maybe having a baby, hot flashes, or traveling, try adding short naps or take some little breaks during the day if possible. If not, there are studies that show 5 to 10 minutes of deep breathing and meditation can give your body rest and relief during times that you can't get your sleep. Now, people ask me, well, how do you count sleep? The moment you go to bed is fine. You don't need to subtract the time it takes to fall asleep or the time that you wake up at night. Start with just tracking your time in bed to get you started. To get used to going to bed earlier, if you are a night owl, for 1 week, bump your bedtime back by 5 minutes. Then each week, roll back 5 more minutes. Over time, you're going to arrive at a bedtime that helps you lose weight and feel better. So remember, your body needs sleep and water, and it will fight to get them. It will beg for food when you are lacking rest and water. Now you have all four basics of weight loss. They each work together to help you lose weight in a way you can live for the rest of your life. Okay, mark this lesson complete, and I'll see you in the next one.
Okay, so just to remind everyone, let's do a little pop quiz. What are the four basics? It's so funny because we get asked that all the time. Water, sleep. We just watched a video on that. Doable hunger, which means we eat when we're hungry. We stop just before full, which we call enough. We've had enough. Our body, not our mind, often has had enough. Remember, when you're stopping at enough, we're looking for the physical sensation, and then we are going to tell our brain, get on board, the body's had enough, I know you're whining, I know you're tired, I know it tastes good, I know everybody else is still eating, I know there's some left on the plate, I know you think it's such a waste, I know that your friends are like still doing whatever. All of that is the mental enough. We don't go by mentally enough. We go by physically enough. And then last is the plan. We make a 24-hour plan. And I want to say this about the plan, just because I read a couple things in the Facebook group this morning where a lot of people are struggling with the plan because they feel like, well, when I make a plan in the morning, it just makes me feel so restricted. Your plan can't make you feel restricted. You make a plan, and whatever your thought is about your plan is what causes you to feel restricted. So if I make a plan and I'm thinking, this is all you get today, you probably won't know what you want for dinner. When it gets dinner time, it's going to suck because you're going to have to eat this. I'm going to feel restricted. That's going to feel like all ass. if I make a plan, and this is my conversation, I'm really glad I'm planning ahead because I often overeat at night, a bunch of shit, because I'm tired. And I don't want the tired version of me to make food decisions anymore. I'm not going to feel restricted. I'm going to feel cared for. If I make a plan in the morning and I say, like, I know tonight I'm going to kind of whine about having to follow this and everything, but the version of me that wants to lose weight thinks this is the best decision. The last person on earth who should decide what I want to eat tonight is the whiny bitch, the one who wants her immediate needs met, the one who wants to eat whatever just tastes good. She ain't thinking about the future version of us. She ain't taking care of us. I have to take care of her. She doesn't need to make those decisions anymore. That's why I'm not losing weight, because I keep giving her all the decision making and she's tired. She is exhausted. And she wants to lose weight so bad. And the last thing I want is her beating herself up at night. She should just have to do this. Say, like, it feels unfair in the moment. And that's okay. Because I'm going to take care of her. Because every fucking night she's wrong. And you know how I know she's wrong? Because the version of me that wakes up every morning wonders what the fuck's wrong with her. So I'm not going to make someone who's incapable of making wise choices the decision maker of my life anymore. All of you have to stop that. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking that planning is restrictive, check yourself. Here's what's restrictive. Whining that you can't eat what you want at night and then waking up each morning and feeling sorry for yourself. You are restricting your entire life from getting what you want out of it. So if we're going to say we're being restricted, let's at least tell the damn truth. There's two sides to the story. I am restricting myself from the things I most want in life. And it ain't a ding dong at dinner. All right. That's my rant for everybody who needs a rant about the 24-hour plan. All right. Let's go to some questions and then we're going to move on to the phases of change because it usually opens up a lot of good stuff. Somebody said I had to turn my volume down. I know. Mama's yelling. I started drinking my coffee. Obviously the caffeine is kicking in because I did not feel this way 2 hours ago. I was like on Marco Polo. This walk's kicking my ass. I was barely moving. I'm like, these damn hills. Why did I move into a neighborhood with so many hills? That was literally one of the sentences I said to Jane this morning. I was complaining that I lived in a neighborhood with a hill and that I had to walk up it. All right. I lost weight and maintained quite a while, but then gained it back. Now I'm losing again. And my thoughts about my legs are not great. The most persistent is that I'm older now and ruined them by stretching out the skin again. Girl, I have had that thought. I still have that thought to this day. I'm just going to tell you right now, that thought, I don't know that it's ever going to go away for me. Here's what has gone away. Me thinking that thought's important. Every time I hear myself say, you ruined your legs, I'm like, I didn't ruin them, but I do have loose skin. They are stretched out. That's true. But I didn't ruin them. I didn't know. It's not like I did it on purpose. I wasn't trying to be awful to myself. Like, I just always try to have compassion that it's like, you have loose skin. I was actually coaching on this the other day with someone, and I just said, you know, one of the things we have to realize when it comes to our body, and this is for every woman, if you are a woman, this is going to apply to you. There is no escaping what society teaches us about what a good body looks like and what a bad body looks like. Just like there's no escaping society on what a what healthy food is and what junk food is. It is just out there. But that doesn't make all of it true. What I like to think about is when I'm hard on my body, it is because of what society has said is acceptable instead of my body's just wrong. For all of you who struggle with body image, I, number one, encourage you to start looking at clothing designers that show all types of bodies. When you like, if I do a lot of online shopping, Like it's rare that Corinne, only time I really go to the mall anymore is when I want to buy shoes. I'm real funny about shoes. Like I need to walk around in them because most of the time when I'm buying shoes I'm going to be presenting on stage, like huffing around for, you know, hours on end. And I need to make sure I can wear them so that I'm not like crippling my feet. So I do like to go to the mall then, but I shop like at Good American. I shop at, I like White House Black Market. This top is White House Black Market, by the way. They have started doing some extended sizes. They're not as inclusive as Good American, but I try to think about when I'm shopping, when I'm online and when I'm looking at things, like if I'm on Instagram or I'm on Facebook, I unfollow and follow things that are going to be good for my body image. Your brain, the more it normalizes all bodies and stuff, the more it normalizes your body. But if your feed in your world is always very thin, it's really hard for your brain not to think, I'm different. Something's wrong with me. So that's always a suggestion that I have for everyone. I just want to say that. She says, I'm not saying I have to love my legs, but what are some thoughts I can adopt to journal about and rethink my legs? I mean, there is, I believe if one of my coaches will go look inside the website, I think we have some body image prompts. It's either in the self-love journal prompt book, or there may be one specifically designed for body image. Can one of you go and look, and then I will, I'll watch the chat to make sure that if y'all post something, or just give me or Mish, if you're in the chat, you can just tell me if there is one. If there's not, I'll create one. But I'm almost 100% sure we already have this because I have been talking body image with y'all for so long. But that's pretty much what I would do. And I'm just going to be honest. So this morning, I'm getting ready. Sarah, who is she's over our marketing department. She is here today, and my leadership team, like MJ and Coach Betsy, Sarah, and just some others, they were all here. And today I wore shorts. And I will tell you, there's not one time I walk in front of them in my shorts where my head is not straight up my shitty body image ass. It took a little bit of courage to walk out of my bedroom this morning. And I was thinking about that this morning. And I was like, I want you to wear shorts today because your office is going to get hot. I won't be off camera until 2 o'clock today. And I refuse to sit here and sweat my ass off all day long. And that's the thought switch. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, you've worked so hard. You've lost weight. I bet a lot of people would love to have your legs. None of that. I don't care how many people want to have my legs. You know what the problem is? I don't want them. Me thinking that doesn't help me. And I haven't wanted them for a long time. But I don't give them a lot of energy. And I don't allow it to stop me. And the more I've done that, the more I just take action with my legs, I just have passing thoughts about them, and then I just move on. I'm not altering everything around it. But if I ever figure out how to never have a bad body image thought ever again and to 100% unconditionally love your body, guess who's going to be the first to know? All of you. I'm going to announce something that I swear to God, my team's probably going to hate my life for saying it out loud, but we have two events next year. There will be, every year we have two events. So we've got Think It, Ink It, Shrink It Camp coming up this November. Next year, one of them is the Body Image Camp. And I think we've named it the No BS Body Revolution. I can't remember. We came up with it yesterday, actually, but I can't exactly remember the whole name. But it is one of the in-person events next year because it is just time. You know, I think one of the things that I struggle the most with is it is 16 years since I lost my weight. And I still can't fully enjoy it. I don't let it stop me. Obviously, I don't let it stop me. I wear awesome clothes. Y'all seen me dance at camp. It is quite the show. Some of you probably have makeup in your boob on your shirts where like we motorboat, like we get down at camp when we dance. I have an amazing husband. I've built a business on weight loss. And that's the thing I think is it's okay to have the thoughts. It doesn't feel great. But if I can teach y'all to quit holding yourself back in life because of it, if I can teach you to have moments where you do like your body, where you can take some of the pressure off of it and just teach you why we got here. So many of you just don't even understand that you're not broken. How are we supposed to escape it when it is everywhere around us how we should look? Because it is everywhere. And that's one of the things I want to teach y'all next year is just like, we have to learn. I didn't want to call it like a body love camp. I wanted the word revolution in it. Because the only way for us to change is we're going to have to revolt against what we have been programmed to believe about ourselves our entire lives. And revolutions aren't always fun. And revolutions they don't feel amazing the whole time, but we're passionate. And when someone's in a revolution, they are dedicated to their cause. And I want y'all dedicated to the cause of loving your body. That doesn't mean you will love it all the time. It doesn't mean you'll have amazing thoughts about it all the time. Okay, I got to get off that tangent. Next question. If I go to bed at 10 and I wake up at 1:30, I can't fall back asleep until around 3 to 3:30. I lay there until I do, which is great, Jen. That is what I'm doing right now. I've had the last like little bit of my life has been, we lost a team member. If you've been around for a while, one of our team members died. One of our other team members went through a cancer scare too. There's been a lot going on in no BS land here lately. And I've notoriously been able to sleep better. And I will say for the last few weeks, I've kind of been waking up in the middle of the night and I have to just lay there and just have to like calm myself down and be like, this is not when we think about work. This is not when we think about our problems. I do, I'm Catholic. So often what works for me is, tell you what, you get to saying enough Hail Marys, you'll go to sleep. Sorry, God, but praying is kind of boring when you're just reciting over and over again. I do different things like that to kind of just not allow my brain to just run wild. And I've been waking up tired too. So her question was, is that still 7 hours? I technically, just for tracking purposes, give myself credit because I'm laying there and I'm attempting all of the sleep. That doesn't mean I'm rested every morning. So that's my only answer to that question. Just continue to keep trying to put yourself back to sleep and get better at it. The one thing I can tell all of you who wake up in the middle of the night is if you don't distract yourself with stuff, you won't teach your brain to stay alert. Brains like just keep it as boring as possible. If nothing else, it's a good practice at learning how to be bored without having to eat or just do something about it. I'm 9 weeks postpartum, first time mama, and I'm struggling with all the things. Any suggestions on what to do? Sleep is obviously out of the question. Yeah, this is one of those periods of life where like, I get it. My son didn't sleep through the night until after 18 months old. My biggest suggestion is to take down severely what you think all the things that you need to do. Get your water in. That you can do. We can get our water in. You know, as they always say, sleep as much as you can. If you need to let go of some stuff in your house, let it go. But But I understand it is like almost impossible when babies are little to get that sleep, especially like I had severe postpartum depression. It was undiagnosed, but I know that is what my problem was. Lower your expectations on yourself. You just birthed a human and now you have a human relying on you. So a lot of times what we do as women to ourselves, this is where all that body image shit comes in too. We put too many expectations on what we should be doing just because our baby, I mean, it's been 3 months or two and a half months for, you know, God's sakes. It's like, yeah, it's only been that long. So making sure that you lower your expectations and redefine what the things and no BS to do are for you. You know, your best right now, you may not be able to plan. If you can, great. If you are like when I travel, you may just need to grab you like a sheet of paper, a little bitty note card each day, a sticky note, and just say, here's all the things I'm going to eat today. It may even be just like once a week, ask somebody, can I have 20 minutes? And all you do is you write for the entire week. Here's what I can do with food this week. Here's how I can make some things easier on me. And then get that done in 20, 30 minutes. And then we don't do a daily plan anymore. We take that load off of you. You might not be able to do lots of journaling and shit. So you don't do that anymore. You just listen for when you're being hard on yourself. And in those moments, you just say, this is a tough time of life. My brain probably is overreacting to things. My brain probably is putting, like, is this one of those moments where I'm setting the expectations so high that I'm draining myself emotionally? What can I do right now to just stay in motion? And what can I stop telling myself and let go of that at the end of the day is really not going to matter? When you are tired and you are in a stressful time of life, like having a baby, like just having a baby, your brain overreacts to things. It makes things way more important than they are. It will give equal value to everything. That pile of laundry will be just as important as feeding your baby. When at the end of the day, if baby ain't got butt rash, a clean diaper, and a full belly, you're doing awesome, mama. Everything else is bonus. Everything else is extra. And it's like learning how, and for all of you, whether you have a child, a grandchild, a just stressful job, whatever it is, it's really understanding like what's really important here and where am I piling shit onto me that's not needed? And that might be the only thought work you need is just some mental, just calming yourself down in those moments and allowing yourself to take a deep breath and say, this is probably my brain freaking out about something that in 7 months, I'm not even going to remember. In 7 days, I'm not going to care about. I drive a concrete truck, not a bathroom close at all times when I need to go. I drink a lot, but need to pee a lot, but can't always. Any suggestions? I hate to say this, Motorola, but pull over somewhere and just piss behind a tree. I can't tell. Oh, we got a greenway. I can't tell you how many times I've been Marco Polo and Jane and been like, shit, I got to pee. I go out and I pee before I leave my house. In 30 minutes, my bladder feels like it's going to blow like that light fixture above my head. And I'm like, girl, I'm looking for a tree. I'll be right back. I mean, I'm just saying, if a man can pull over and whoop his dick out and pee on the side of the road, we can go get squat behind a tree and get it done too. And no man is sitting around like talking to his guys like, what should I do? I need to pee. Men, like, just think about it. Men don't even do that. But we do. We will suffer. So that's just one suggestion.
You've learned two of the most powerful questions you can ask yourself while losing weight. Am I hungry and have I had enough? And you know that creating a doable 24-hour plan filled with food you love is going to help you establish a relationship with food that helps you lose weight without restriction and deprivation. You combine all that with getting plenty of water and sleep, and you're well on your way to losing weight in a way that you can do for the rest of your life. Now I want to talk about how change works. It's important because you are going to have times when all this feels easy to do and times you forget or just don't want to do it. It's in those moments you might get down on yourself thinking, now that I know this, I should just be able to do it. That's not how behavior change works. When you start using the four basics, you're not going to be perfect. Think about it. Your brain is used to doing what it always does. You might be used to grabbing a couple of cookies while cooking dinner, or you're used to just eating whatever sounds good instead of planning how to eat things you love. The things you're learning in the No BS Weight Loss course require you to do things on purpose by thinking before you act. And with enough time spent doing things on purpose, your mind will turn these things into future habits that require less and less energy to do. For example, mindless eating shits all over your weight loss. If you add up each grab-ass bite of food and multiply it by 50, you got a lot of extra calories going down in a day that you aren't thinking about. Now, I'm not a believer in counting calories, but it is simple math. If you're eating 5 to 10 extra bites of food a day, whether that's grabbing things or cleaning your plate, you're also consuming 250 to 500 extra calories. That's enough to throw most people into either maintaining or slowly gaining weight. So it makes sense that we need to stop mindless eating to get a few wins on the scale. But the problem is your brain is mindlessly eating so effortlessly right now that you're going to have times you eat and then realize you did it. And that's not a problem. It's normal to eat without thinking and then realize what's happening once you start paying attention. And over time, you'll get better and better at noticing before, during, and after. What's not normal is quitting because your habits don't flip on a dime simply because I told you what to do. What's not normal is beating yourself up and calling yourself a failure while you're experiencing the normal process of behavior change. So let's talk about how behavior change works, because I think it'll help you go from feeling scared you can't lose weight when you fuck up your eating to feeling relieved that this is just part of the damn process. There are four phases of behavior change, and they work with everything you're going to learn inside of No BS. Today, we'll use it with one small behavior, waiting for hunger. You're in phase one right now, which is called the waking up phase. You learn something new, start using it, and about 20% of the time you do it. You'll start to put a piece of candy in your mouth and remember, you're not hungry. You'll think about eating lunch and realize you ain't hungry. 80% of the time, though, you're eating lunch and realize you forgot to think about hunger. Or you'll be halfway through dinner and realize you've been tasting everything when you don't really need to. The good news is that your brain is waking up to paying attention to hunger. But too often we shit on ourselves thinking, I shouldn't be doing this. This is why I can't lose weight. I learned something and I fail at doing it. Y'all, why not think, thank God I'm starting to get this. I'm noticing mindless eating that wasn't even on my radar a few days ago. Or I'm noticing sometimes before I eat, which means I can get better at this. Weight loss is about being patient. It ain't about quitting. And then you got to learn how to do a little bit better each and every day. Weight loss is not an Olympic sport in perfectionism. Now, as long as you keep trying to pay attention, you'll hit the next phase, which is the momentum phase. Here, you're going to ask, am I hungry? About 40% of the time. 60% of the time, you're noticing midway through eating or after the fact. Regardless, you have momentum on your side because your brain is trying to catch mindless eating more frequently. Your brain increases how much is paying attention simply because you are making it important. You see, you have something in your brain called the reticular activating system, or the RAS. This part of your brain knows what's important to you, and then it goes to work on making sure you now notice it. It also filters out unimportant things. Here's how you know if you have a functioning RAS. Have you ever been in a crowded room and then somebody somewhere says your name? Did you perk up? Did you look around to see who might be talking to you? That's your RAS working. Your brain filtered out the conversations happening all around you. But when your name was called, your brain started paying attention. Until now, those mindless eats weren't important. You gave your brain no reason to find them. So it stopped alerting you when you ate. Now you've made them important. So your RAS will try to make sure you know when it's happening. So when you hit the momentum phase, that is your RAS starting to help you out. Now, the next phase is called the make or break phase. This is the one I see most people quit in. In this phase, you'll be able to do the new behavior like ending your mindless eating about 60% of the time. 40% of the time, you're still missing some shit. You're noticing you're eating after the fact, or you're catching yourself in the middle of some overeating. In this phase, your brain is showing you more signs of improvement by catching more eating before, during, and after the fact. Your brain is on super alert, and it's asking you to please keep going. But most of us misinterpret this phase, thinking, I should be doing it perfectly by now. We should only notice our eating before it happens, or we can't lose weight. Look, that shit ain't true. If you keep thinking this way, you are going to set yourself up to quit, and quitting is the only way you ain't going to lose weight. What is true is that your mind is showing you all the overeating, and it's your job to keep working on ways to get more and more aware so you can keep making progress. What's crazy is by this phase, you can see you are clearly getting better at catching yourself eating, and yet you tell some sad ass tale that you're failing because you ain't perfect. Now, here comes the final phase. It's called the habit phase, which is 80% of the time, you got this. And 20% of the time, your old behavior comes up. Notice, to lose weight, there ain't no phase where things are 100% perfect. Y'all, perfection is not needed. The only thing that's needed is you dropping the idea you got to do everything right or you can't lose weight. The more you remind yourself of this, the easier it will be to keep going until things are clicking for you. Now, in the next module of No BS, you're going to learn more about how to drop all that mental weight that you hang on to that's also holding you back in life. But my hope is that when you combine the four basics with an understanding of how behavior change actually works with the phases of change, losing weight's going to become easier for you. We are all going to fuck up in weight loss. Every success story inside of No BS, including yours truly, lost weight because we kept going until things got easier to do. We didn't quit even if things didn't go like we thought they should. Now, I want you to head over to the Facebook group. And I want you to leave one aha you got from today's lesson. Does knowing the four phases of change make you feel better, normal, or like you can do this? Did you get a sense of relief? That'll help you be patient while doing the four basics. Whatever you learned, I want to hear about it. Okay, mark this lesson complete. You are officially done with module one. You might need to watch some of these lessons over again. That's normal. You can always come back to them at any time. But now in module two, you're going to learn a simple process for unwinding things like diet trauma and overeating excuses. We'll also talk about how to feel better so that you can eat better. There's just a lot of good stuff coming at you, and I can't wait to teach you.
Okay, so I think phases of change may be one of the most important lessons that we do when it comes to understanding how your brain works, because how your brain works totally dictates how much weight you're going to lose. The biggest mistake I see with most people when they're trying to lose weight is they don't understand that their brain is going to offer up a lot of thoughts that everything's not going to go perfectly, that just because you learn something, like I love how, let me ask y'all this. If you had a kid, let's say you have a kid and they go to school and it's the first day of math class. They've never been exposed to math. The teacher's like, I'm giving you the times tables. And we are even going to spend like a whole hour talking about them. Like we're going to go over them. And I'm only going to teach you the twos, like some of the easy ones. And then your kid comes home and they got to do their homework. Would you ever look at your kid and be like, I can't believe you don't understand multiplication. I mean, the teacher gave you a handout. They talked to you for a whole hour and you don't get it. Like, why did you make a mistake? Well, if you fuck this up, you might as well just quit. Let's just pull you out of school and I'll support your ass the rest of your life. How many of y'all would do that? No one ever. But this is what y'all do. Well, I listened to your videos. I mean, I made a plan for a few days. I don't understand why I'm not doing all the things. I mean, you told me to stop it enough. I don't understand why it's so hard. I only been eating this way for 55 years. That is not how your brain works. Your brain's job is to work really, really, really fast. And I don't care if you got a video. It's going to take a while for you to keep applying a new way and a new way of thinking about things and like figuring out how to do it, just like math. I mean, I just want y'all to think about Junior. Probably gets the times tables in like, I don't know. We got them in the second grade. They're probably getting them in like, I don't know, at 2 years old now. But they do times tables year after year after year. Why do they do that? Phases of change. Because every single time they teach kids the basics again and they have them practice the basics, they get better at fucking math. Guess what you got to do? Practice. Do it over and over again. And there will only be one thing that's going to stop you from losing weight. Your bitch ass judgment about you. If you did not think something's wrong with you, if you did not think you were broken, if you did not think I'll never lose weight, if you did not think this is the end all be all, if you took all of that out of your head, would you try again at the next meal? Yes, it would make sense to you to do that. So that is like legit. The only thing standing in your way is you have been taught your entire life that if you don't do something right, it must be devastating, must be awful. It must mean something's wrong with me. And whether you're a perfectionist or not, most of us in weight loss, that is how we've been taught. Every diet that gave you a strict meal plan and a calorie adherence and everything, like how many Weight Watchers meetings did you go to where you probably did actually eat your fucking points or whatever method that they were using at the time? And then you weighed in and the first thing they asked you was, well, what went wrong this week? That's how you got here. The Grim Reaper at Weight Watchers, who was not trained on emotional and mental things, taught you that something was wrong with you if you weren't doing it perfectly. Every trainer you worked with that said you need more willpower, that like every partner you've ever had, parent, peer, that every time you broke a diet, said, you just need to eat less. Trained you to think something was wrong with you when the whole time it was not you. The whole time it was like, we have to get better and refine, not make it mean something about us until we lock in on, okay, now it's all makes sense. Now this feels easier. I've broken some of the ties emotionally to eating that I have, and now it's easier to lose weight. So, like, for all of you, I just want you to think about, because it does not matter if this is your first day in No BS or if this is your 1,000th day in No BS. It literally doesn't matter. At the moment of impact, when something doesn't go the way you thought it would, your brain might want to be really hard on you, and it probably will be really hard on you. We can't stop that part right now. Eventually, one day, your brain's not that hard on you. But on day one, the first step to one day being someone who doesn't beat themselves up anymore, on that day, we have to know when we're doing it to ourselves and saying, it makes sense why I do that. It feels really bad when I think these things. Like, I don't even like these things that I think, but it makes sense why I do. So I'm going to just keep plugging along, even though it feels a little hard, even though I'm doubting, even though I'm scared it won't work. This is what I did. I remember telling myself over and over again, Corinne, it feels terrible, but old you always quit when she was thinking this way. New us, the one thing that I knew that made logical sense is I would tell myself, stopping definitely means you won't lose weight. You continuing to try means you might lose weight. I would rather bet on might, maybe, hopefully, possibly, than to have to sit there and have 100% guaranteed failure because I stopped. That made logical sense to me. And so I just got really good in every moment, and I still do this to this day, every moment that I felt dejected, I would say there's only one problem here. Stopping means you won't lose weight. Moving forward's just hard. But on the other side is possibility. I will take possibility every day. Let me tell you. So there you go. That is what I take. All right, everybody. I will see y'all on Sunday for Sunday coaching. So I'll be there for you. Bye-bye, y'all.